The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
And it is Black Butter Love. Black Love Talk tonight, November 6th. Let me say happy birthday to my father, my aunt. Thank you so much for being in my life and meeting my mother and the two of you connecting and bringing me into this world, because you brought a wonderful person into this world. So let me just say happy birthday to my father and to anybody else that's celebrating a birthday, Earth Day, Born Day, whatever you want to call it. I know we have all of our different terms, but I just want to say that to my father. And welcome in to you. It's been a long time. We haven't been. It seems like it's been a long time. Hi, Scotty. How are you? If you're out there, you can hear me. Miss you. Hope that all is well there with you.
Greetings, sis.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Scotty, we're supposed to get some more rain here in Houston. My internet connection has been horrible. It hasn't even started raining yet, and my internet connection has been horrible. So keep your fingers crossed for us here in Houston. We have had enough rain here. I was actually out of town for a couple of weeks, so I missed all the flooding that took place over the past two weekends. But we're expecting some. So if you know some people here in the Houston, Texas area, especially Dallas, because they get some horrible weather up there. Well, I'm so glad I did not relocate to Dallas. And that was actually one place on my list before I came here to Houston. And, ooh, Lord have mercy, they have some terrible weather there. But anyway, so we will be on for the next 2 hours, and we hope that you will tune in or call in and share your thoughts as we talk about Black Butter Love and having your soulmate versus your cellmate. Your soulmate versus your cellmate. Having that person that you love, love to be around, enjoy being around, that person that you like and love, as well as adore. You know, I always say that, adoring somebody. I think that's just beautiful. Versus, you know, having that person, oh, my God, when you, say, pull up in the driveway, it's like, oh, crap, they're here. Oh, Lord, let me just turn around and go somewhere else. Let me circle the block. Maybe they'll leave. Let me circle the block and go have a drink or come home when they're asleep or something like that. You know, oh, my God, that's got to be just a horrible feeling to just not even want to be around somebody, but you have to be around them. I did that for a hot minute, and I hurry up and got out of that crappy relationship. So I just hope that our listeners are not in a tragic relationship like that. I hope that all of your relationships are filled with love and joy. Let me bring in Aja. Hi, Aja. How are you?
I'm great. I'm wonderful. Namaste.
Oh,
good,
yes,
to hear
namaste.
Your voice, Black Rose. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Been away. Been away.
Yeah.
Seems like forever. Yeah, it hasn't been.
I know.
Yeah, I miss being on the air, and I miss hearing what people have to share with us. You know what, Aja? I want to bring up being Mary Jane.
Oh my gosh.
Neither one of us are big TV people, but
nope.
I tell you, on my schedule this weekend, in addition to doing all my many other things, since it's supposed to be so bad with all the rain and everything here in Houston, I think I'm going to binge watch the first two seasons of Being Mary Jane on Netflix. I started over this week with season one. I think I'm up to maybe season four or five. But I want to pick up from the show that aired not this past Tuesday. Being Mary Jane comes on Tuesdays on BET. Lord knows I'm not a fan of BET, but that Mary Jane show, that is so good. And I really, really, really enjoy that show because first what I noticed about Mary Jane, at first I was like, oh God, I don't want to watch this show. This woman got all kind of relationships issues. You know, I thought it was going to be a show just about, you know, relationships. Her going through all this men and how, you know, same old trite storyline, right? However, weaved within that love and relationship storyline of Mary, Mary Jane, first let me say this. The producers and writers of the show, the husband and wife super team, Maria, I believe her name is Brock. It's the Akils, A-K-I-L. Okay,
right.
And you know, they were the founders and creators, like of Cosby Show, Different World, Living Single, and a few. I think what was that other one with the
Girlfriends
that you used to like. Girlfriends.
Girlfriends.
I believe they were behind Girlfriends as well.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. Okay. And they're practicing Sufis. S-U-F-I. Practicing Sufis. Look that up. Google it. Sufis. If you're unfamiliar. So they're very spiritual people. Okay. And
right.
So this Being Mary Jane, this episode that came on last Tuesday, I kept hearing people speak about it, and people, oh, it was a tearjerker, I was crying by the end, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't have cable, so I have to wait till it comes up on my little bootleg download site, Cutlooker, and all of those so I can watch it. And it also, you can, you know, of course, stream it on BET. But if Mary Jane, Being Mary Jane, the show often, just about every episode, bringing up something black. I love it. You know, actually addressing some black issues, like a black
issues.
Comments. Yes, black issues, like prison reform, how much it costs when people are calling their loved ones. You know, I just read recently that for some prisoners, you know they have to pay $14 a minute? $14.
Yes.
AT&T, that's why I can't stand AT&T. Charging these people $14 a minute. Now, they only make, what, 20 cents an hour? And
then,
you know, they say for them or the family to pay for this $14 a minute. $14 a minute? That's
yes.
Just crazy. So, but anyway, don't let me get on that tangent. But Being Mary Jane deals with a lot of black issues. I remember this recent episode that I was just watching. The author, Walter Mosley, I think Mary Jane was having a dinner party. She spoke to Walter Mosley. Her father, who is, of course, Richard Roundtree, Shaft, you know,
Shaft.
So that's a win-win right there. Okay, yes. Mr. Shaft, that's a win-win. And then Suge. You know, and her name was Suge Avery, right? In Color Purple.
Yes.
What was her name?
Yes.
Yeah, so Margaret Avery, who plays Suge Avery,
Avery,
Color Purple, and so many other great films with her cute self. She's Mary Jane's mother, and so they have a cast in there.
The brother,
that I absolutely love the brother. I cannot think of his name right now, but he was the assistant. To the assistant, you know, the black guy. I'll look his name up. Love him, okay. And I'm not familiar with her little brother. He's just a cute little pie too. But
yes, he is.
This show Yes. They're always bringing up, like, some black issue in the show, and actually having an intellectual discussion around it, not just saying some stupid black stuff. They're actually having intellectual discussions around various black topics. And, you know, I'm just always down. So this episode is really rocking me. Dealt with suicide and Mary Jane, this was a lot of shit.
You're breaking up.
You know that's not.
Yes. And his name is Richard Brooks.
Richard Brooks. Okay, so Richard Roundtree and Richard Brooks. Okay. Thanks, Aja. And so this episode, oh my God, it is. It dealt with her friend's suicide, Lisa. Mary Jane's friend, she committed suicide, and she had tried to commit suicide previously, another episode, and she reached out and called Mary Jane, and of course the whole breakup was over some emotions regarding a man that Mary Jane was involved with for quite a while, like 5 years, and then her friend like had some kind of thing or whatever going on. You have to watch it, but what really touched me, though, was the whole suicide of it all, and how a lot of times we purposely shut people out, or sometimes we inadvertently shut people out, and we don't know that we're actually shutting people out of our lives. So when we really need them or need someone to talk to or come to our aid, they're not there because we've been shutting them out for so long. And
right.
What are your thoughts on that episode? There's a lot I could say about it, and I just have so much spinning in my head. I didn't write any, like, real notes down about it, but because there's just so much to that episode that you could just break that episode down in and of itself. But what would you say? You have a comment to offer, Aja?
Well, one thing that really touched me was that Mary Jane, the character, she was so upset and angry with her best friend. They'd been friends since the third grade. And her friend was very fragile. She'd had some molestation done as a child. And it carried on through her adult life. She was a successful doctor, had gone to Meharry College, medical college, black college. They mentioned a lot of black things, like the college that she went to, and the brother went to
Morehouse
College for
Morehouse. That's another thing that I really like about that episode. I mean, they could have said she went to Howard, Harvard or Princeton.
Harvard.
Writers
could have said that.
The writers made a point, exactly, made a point to mention Meharry. Medical school. I mean, I just love that. Okay, go ahead. And the brother attended, he was a student of Morehouse College, so they mentioned these black colleges.
Oh,
love it. Okay, HBCU.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And so the friend, they've been friends for years, and Mary Jane Paul's character, of course, knew about the molestation because his kids talk, and, you know, the best friend. So she knew that she was troubled. But somewhere along the line, Mary Jane was introduced to this guy that you're talking about, that she had this five-year relationship with. She was introduced to her by her third-grade friend. That was her guy friend. But they had some kind of little intimate relationship unknowns to Mary and untold by them to Mary. You know, they didn't say, well, you know, we did kind of do a little something, you know. So in the end, Mary finds out that they did have a little something going on by accidentally, the guy accidentally called Mary by sitting on the phone. And so she heard this terrible conversation between the two of them and saying, we should tell Mary. We should tell Mary. So Mary got upset about that. And so my point is that sometimes we get so angry with someone about a betrayal, and we're so busy being angry with them, She was, I think she didn't speak with her for about a year. She was so angry, she shut her down. She shut her down. And she had told her, you mentioned that she tried to commit suicide earlier. And when she, you know, ran over and helped her and got her to the medics and everything, got it all flushed out of her, she said, if you ever think about doing this again, call me. Call me. And she said, okay, I'll try. So she did think about doing it again because she felt so awful for doing that to her best friend. She felt so awful. And Mary, of course,
because
blessed
she tried
her
to tell her, she tried to talk to her, tried to explain it to her. Even her brothers one of her brothers brought Lisa over. And Mary Jane Paul is the character is played by the beautiful, talented Gabrielle Union, who is married to what's that guy's name who plays for Miami? I can't say his name right now. Anyway, but yeah, so her friend tried to talk to her and explain the whole situation, and Mary Jane just refused to listen. She just refused to hear her. So, okay, go ahead.
Sometimes we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear the reason why we have been betrayed. We're so busy being angry. I want to be angry first. I want to be angry with you. I'm just so upset with you. I don't even want you to tell me your reason for it because I'm still angry. I want to hold on to this anger, and I want to punish you. I want to punish you. So that's what the character, Mary Jane Paul's character, was doing, punishing her friend for betraying her. So the friend in her depression, she also suffered with depression, and in her down period, she did try several times to call Mary. And what happened is she did commit suicide. She had a wonderful dinner. She prepared a beautiful dinner. She set the table. I mean, it was just, the whole scene was just so powerful. So powerful. Oh, she showered. She put on a cologne. She fixed her hair up real pretty, had it all with some ribbons all tied in it. She put on a beautiful gown, had little straps coming in the back, and she was smiling as she was doing all of this, as if to say, this is my goodbye. And this is what I want to do, and I'm just going to say goodbye to the world because I have let people down, and this is what. And she had a glass of wine. She sit there and she sipped her wine and she smiled to herself, and you could see her thinking thoughts, you know, thinking all these thoughts, but they were like giving up thoughts, you know. She was smiling just as a resolution. This is my resolution to solve all this misery that I'm going through. And she got, being a doctor, she had plenty of access to any kind of medicine that she wanted. Plus, she was on medication because she was suffering from depression. And she got all these bottles, and she emptied all of them into a little cute little bowl that she had set aside her bed, and she put them in a little bowl, and she stirred them around. I mean, the whole scene was just so powerful. She stirred them around with her little finger, you know, and then she had her little wine, and she sat on the side of the bed, and she just took them, you know, just like you're eating cherries or strawberries, you know, you're just one by one.
Chocolate
candy, like you're eating, not like some people are like, oh, I'm going to have my God. It was nothing like that. It was very quiet, you know, very peaceful.
Very decidedly,
this is it. This is the end for me. And she just calmly took a couple of sips of wine, and she laid down on bed. And the really powerful, another powerful moment was that at that time, at that exact moment that she was doing that, Mary Jane Paul's character suddenly got ill. She was in the bathroom, in her home, across town, and she was, you know, she'd been in a terrible accident. She had an accident, by the way, when she heard her friend and her past lover with this conversation. She was just so shocked and dumbfounded. She lost control of the car, and it was raining, and she had a terrible accident, totally messed up her face. So as she was putting medication on her face, you know, trying to heal her face, she suddenly got ill to the stomach, sick to the stomach. She had to go to the restroom. And that's another thing I like about this movie. It shows very personal details. Actually showed her sitting on the toilet, you know, just having an awful, awful stomach ache. And it just came on suddenly. That shows how closely connected they were as friends.
Yes.
She could feel her pain all the way across town. She didn't know where it came from. But at that moment that her friend was taking those pills, ending her life, Mary Jane Paul got sick. And Mary Jane Paul did not find out about the death for a while because she would not answer her phone. She would not answer her phone. And finally, I mean, no matter who called, she would not pick up the phone because she was too busy being depressed and angry. And finally, her niece called. And she said, "Hey, what's up?" And she said, "Can you come over?" And that's how she found out. And it was a tearjerker. It was one of those movies. I don't think I've ever felt like that. I mean, I sit there because I really get into things. I don't watch TV often, but if I see something that's really compelling, I'm there. You know, it's not like, "Oh, look at her." Wow. I'm like there. So I was there, and I was frozen. I was frozen. It was like I was the only person in the room, and it was like I was actually in that room with Mary Jane Paul. I've never seen anything like that. Because it was more than fiction. It was more than fiction. I know it was written to be fiction, but there are other Mary Jane Pauls out there, you know? And I wrote down myself, sometimes we can be too angry, so angry that we forget to show compassion. We forget to show compassion. We let our anger override our compassion. And that's something that we need to think about.
Yeah. I'm kind of learning that too. It's taken a while, but I'm learning that you know, sometimes you just have to put your emotions aside and I don't know about putting your emotions aside, but just not being so angry at a person that you don't want to hear them. And you don't want to forgive them. I always say, you can forgive. That doesn't mean you have to forgive. Now, I don't believe in forgive and forget. I believe you. I forgive you. That doesn't mean I have to forgive. It happens. I'm not going to let it burden me.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to continue just to,
because that forgiveness.
That weight like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That forgiveness can add so, the unforgiveness can add so much more pain to you than the actual thing itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it will eat away at you.
Not
forgiving somebody.
And that episode, I mean, if you have not watched Mary Jane, I would say, And to really understand what Lisa was going through and why Mary Jane was so upset, you know, the whole triangular relationship that was going on between Lisa and Mary Jane and David, that's the guy, you really do kind of like have to watch like both seasons. Now, this episode happened in season three. They're in season three. But, I mean, you really do have to watch it. I would say that is something that's a show to watch. You know, they do bring up the black issues, a lot of black talk, and they're dealing with some serious issues in our community. So that's why I promote that movie, that series. It's really, really good. Hats off to Gabrielle Union. Go girl, I hope you get an Emmy. And come on the show and talk about, come on the Lotus Place and talk about Mary Jane Paul and being Mary Jane the show, because that show, it gets two thumbs up for me for dealing with that intact.
If I had a third thumb, I'd give it that. One other thing I wanted to bring up while we're talking about that, that I think that our audience need to be aware of, audience needs to be aware of in watching the show, is that oftentimes we will say, if I just had a better job, if I just had a beautiful home, if I just had this fabulous car, if I just had a maid to just come by and clean up my house, I wouldn't have to clean up.
Yes.
If I had a big pool that was square and just like an Olympic-sized pool, man, if I had a supportive family, if I had Mary Jane Paul,
if I was pretty,
if I had fabulous wardrobe, yes,
if I had a banging career, you know, oh my,
and people
life
knew me as I walked down the street, they would say, oh, there she is, can I take a picture with you, you know, all of this. If I had this, then I'd be happy. But Mary Jane Paul's character had all those things. And then when she came home and closed the door, oh, man.
She was in that big, beautiful home with a lovely pool with her Porsche parked out in the front. With her fabulous career. She was alone. She was sad.
She was unhappy.
Sometimes called her crazy. Yes, she was unhappy.
Yes.
And she was chasing after a man.
Yeah.
Chasing. She was chasing love.
Yes, chasing love.
That man, you know, it's him. He's just all that. It's not always you. It's the
thought
of women just wanting that thing, that love, that relationship. They want that. They want that
to be the one.
That what they see walking down the street. Those two people holding hands and looking into each other's eyes. They want that, and that's what she wanted. She wanted
that's
that perfect love, that perfect soulmate. And she was really like living in hell. And that's a good segue into the topic: having your soulmate versus your stalemate. But did you want, before we move into the topic, and I want to play a few clips, did you want to say anything else about that? Because I know I kept jumping in, Aja.
No, but if something else pops in my head, I'd like to be able to, you know, just interject.
Oh, of course, anytime.
But I'm cool right now.
And if anyone else has anything that they would like to share, you know, you can call in 641-715-3660. 641-715-3660. And the code is 549032. And you can press *6 and 1 to share your comments. Because tonight we are talking about finding the love that you want, having that soulmate, that person that, I don't like to say completes you, because we're supposed to be complete. I've heard, like, what was that on? What movie was that? Was on, that was on that movie with Tom Cruise and that girl. It was such a big hit. Not me, Joe Black, but it was such a big hit. But anyway, on that one, he said, "You complete me." Okay,
I remember that.
Yeah, everybody loved that movie. You know, he was like, because they were friends. No, they were coworkers, but she really had this attraction for him and all of that.
Give me the money. Show me the money.
Show me the money. That was Cuba Gooding Jr. was in it, right? He was a football player.
It was the guy's name.
Give me the money. Show me the money. Jerry Maguire. That's it. Thank
you.
You said the guy's name. I just needed a hint. Okay. Jerry Maguire, right. So he says in that film to the lady after, you know, she professed her love for him and all of this, and you know, she wanted to be with him, and he was trying to find himself with his career and all of that stuff, like men always doing. Men always chasing money
to have women, and then when they get the money, then it's like, okay, what, you were trying to get the money so that you can have women, you know, and all of this stuff, and buy your cars and your house and all of that, and now what you doing, you know. Anyway, that's a whole other topic.
Right.
But he said that she completes him. I don't think that anybody should complete you. You should be complete yourself, because you can't go to somebody half cocked. You need to bring your all. Yeah, you're supposed to bring your all. You're supposed to already be complete, already be yourself, already have your life, already have you together, have yourself together, be you. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to jump into our topic. Okay.
Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, and we are back, and I want to play, I want to find this video clip. I love this guy, Ralph Smart, Infinite Waters, on YouTube. He has an awesome playlist for various topics. So I love his relationship topic. I always try to find one to kind of generate my thoughts on a topic for these Friday Night Black Butter Love shows. And I also found this guy. I don't know where he's from. He has an accent. Sounds Colombian or something, named, I think, Bernardo something. He has some really good videos, too. So I'm going to play a couple of their clips. I want to play this one first, though. This is How to Find Your Soulmate. So let me just play this one, and then we're going to have a little discussion here. Okay. How to Find Your Soulmate.
Hello, this is Vern, and welcome to my first video of 2015. If you're interested in creating a connection with your soulmate in 2015, you are in luck, because that's what I will be sharing with you today. Hello, and welcome to YourGreatLifeToday.com. Today is another edition of Get the Love You Crave, and today I'm super excited. Last night I was checking the stats of my channel, and I saw that I surpassed the first 1,000,000 views. So I'm so happy and so thankful for each one of you who watched my videos, subscribed to my channel, clicked like, sent me comments, sent me emails. I am so thankful and so grateful that I get a chance to share this with you, and I'm super excited for the next several 1,000,000 views that will be shared with you. Today I have something special for you. My episode today is How to Connect with the Man of Your Dreams in 2015. And I'll share with you three specific ways to do it. The first one is figure out a way to set an intention that is based on possibilities, not based on your past. I know that you may have gone through challenges, through pain, through hurt, and that your heart might already have started closing off, or you started losing hope. But if you take that energetic space, and that's how you set your goals for the future, that's with that amount of energy or lack thereof, you set an intention of connecting to a guy, it's not going to happen. You must be willing to break from the past. You must be willing to make a commitment, a decision that says the past is not the same thing as the future. And I'm not sure yet how I'm going to create it, but I have the intention of creating a committed, passionate relationship that's beyond anything I've ever experienced. That is possible for you if you're willing to go there. Second step in order to create the connection you want with the man of your dreams 2015. Be willing to change your energy. Do whatever the hell it takes to own your energy and change it in a way that makes you feel insanely alive. And you can do this through many different ways. You can do it through movement, moving with more energy. You can do it through connecting to your passions. You can do it through doing things you love. You can do it through doing things for other human beings, through contributing, through being more of service. You can do it through forgiving people around you. You can do it through letting go of the past. You can do it through learning something that inspires you. Whatever it takes to do it, change your freaking energy. Without changing your energy, this thing will not get created. If I were to give you right now the number one challenge I find in women who are not getting the love they want, aside from numbing themselves and lying to themselves in terms of this being not important, it would be the energy they're giving off to the world is one of, I don't want this. It's heavy, it's hard, it's baggagey. And no guy wants to connect with that. But guys absolutely love and adore someone who comes in with so much aliveness that they go outside of their brain and into their heart. You have the capacity to do that today. Nothing else needs to change other than you making a decision and being willing to do some of the things that I shared with you right now so you can change your energy. So that's going to be super key in creating what you want. Change your energy, own your emotional states, and be willing to give more of yourself in terms of feeling intensely alive. That will rub off on other people, will rub off on men, and people will want to get close to you. Third one, learn from someone who's already mastered this. You can do two different approaches. Trial and error, which is incredibly freaking painful. Or learn from someone who's already created the results you want, or help someone to create the result that you're looking for, and learn from them. I'm not saying you're not going to go through pain. I am saying that you will save tons of time, years perhaps off the process, if you learn from someone who's done this. So in order to help you along point number three, I've created, along with my business partner and friend, a three-part video series, which is amazing, one of the best pieces of work I've ever done. It's free, absolutely free. You can subscribe by clicking on the link below. And this, it's called Embody Love Project. And how to connect to the man of your dreams is basically what we're sharing with you there. How to become the only woman he loves for the rest of his life. That's the title of the video series. So subscribe below, enter your name and email address. You'll get a three-part video series. And you get a chance to learn very specific ways that are actionable, non-BS, that can help you immediately, starting today, create the results you want in 2015. So all I'm asking you right now is sign up. If you have not already done this, click.
Right, so he was talking about changing your energy and feeling alive, and I think that that makes sense, because if you are walking around looking mean, feeling depressed, or you have this whole aura, this negative, people can pick up on that. And one thing that I've learned about men is men can sense it. Have low self-esteem, and when you don't value yourself, and some men they will seek out women like that because they know that they can manipulate them. So if you learn to value yourself and change your energy, value yourself and feel that you are the best, you are the one, and you are the commodity. I had a friend tell me that a long time ago, a coworker, and it made a lot of sense. She said, you are the commodity in the relationship, the woman. You're the commodity. So a man should be happy to have you, a woman, you. What man does not want to be, well, I know a lot of men these days, they don't want to be with women. They say, and I'm not saying that because they're gay. In a sense, I'm saying a lot of these men, they just act like they don't want to be with women for whatever reason, you know, not really be with a woman. They want to be with her. They want to have sex with a woman and all that, but they don't want to be with a woman. They don't want to be true to a woman, be real with a woman, and really be a man to a woman. I find a lot of men that, well, not a lot, I find some men, they just, again, they want to have these, Kevin Hart said it, situations. I think it was Kevin Hart or either Cat Williams. They said they want to be in these situations. And women, too, there's some women, they want to be in situations because they just don't know what to look for in a man or how to be with a man also. So
right.
People, period, they find themselves being in these situations, you know.
Right.
It's complicated. Look, I'm not
right, right.
Relationships. You know how
right.
that became like a little term of you're in a relationship, it's complicated. Well, but God,
it's complicated.
I don't need to be in it because, guess what? A relationship to me should be something that should be your tranquil, your place of tranquility and peace.
peace of mind. When I'm with you,
right.
I don't want to go into a bunch of turmoil and arguing with the other. I remember I was in a relationship with a guy, and he meant to stand for me asking him, did he want a glass of water? So, of course, the argument was not about the water. It was about some other underlying issues. And so the point I'm making is all that bullshit, you know, I'm not getting ready to deal with it. You got some issues, or you got an issue with me, say it, speak your mind. Either we can be together, we're not. Hey, look, we can do it or we don't have to. All right?
Right.
I'm not for going through a bunch of crap. Let me welcome in Brother Brown. Brother Brown, is that you? You there with us tonight?
Yeah, I kind of overslept. Good evening, everybody. How you doing?
Hi,
Brother Brown.
Yeah.
How are you? Good to have this male voice on here.
Yeah, I would listen to what you were saying, and you know what?
Wait a minute, Brother Brown. Hold up, Brother Brown. Before you say that, aren't you going to tell everybody how good it was for us to see each other last week? We always have on home. We talk every day. We got a chance to see each other for the second time in 2 years. Can you believe
it? Yeah, we had a good one. It was a pleasure showing you around Norfolk and doing things with you. And, you know, people need to understand that men and women can have relationships, and it don't necessarily have to mean that I have to achieve something out of the relationship with your feeling. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. We haven't been trained based on our own values how to nurture young men into becoming attracted to women and how to nurture young women into becoming attracted to men. And, you know, to go back to our upbringing, when you have heard negativity about the opposite sex, and this is something that spiritually the Europeans have indoctrinated into our minds and played upon, and it has now taken a drastic epidemic course in our genetic survival, because so many young girls, I know a family that I was very connected with up here, and when a young girl's mother died, I think she was 14 or 15 at the time, and you know, I'm talking about a teenager who had never experienced anything, came out right after her mother, matter of fact, before her mother was put in the ground, she said, based on her supposed to be father's relationship, negative relationship with the women and the family, that I was gay. And, you know, she was just like a daughter to me. And I could not understand for the life of me, where did this little girl get this negativity from? So after, you know, careful investigation of just watching her actions, it was because of seeing a negative male, which was her supposed to be father, which turned out not to be her biological father, in her mother's life, using crack, never having no self-esteem, talking to the children like they were, you know, animals or something like that, inanimate objects, you know, and not doing anything to uplift the mother. And the mother staying with him for so many years. You know, and this trans little girl stumbles. I remember growing up as a kid, even when I was like 7 or 8 years old, I remember my uncles, and I had 5 of them, and all of the young men that nurtured me saying, you know, you got a girlfriend? Go over there and talk to so-and-so. See, that was people think that, you know, you're pushing them into the sexual arena too fast. No, you're pushing them into an arena that spiritually, our ancestors know that we need to be attracted to a female in order for genetic survival. It ain't nothing about no foolishness.
Right.
If males are not attracted to women, and women are not attracted to males, how the hell are we to survive on this planet?
Right.
We can't survive. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Because there will be no reproduction. If ain't nobody had no babies, guess what? We will become extinct. And people, the Europeans have played this into our minds all the way back from the 60s when they gave the black woman everything she thought she needed but a male. And it's sad because we did not have any foresight. They gave her a Medicaid card, they gave her a house in the project, they gave her food stamps, they gave her a check, and they kicked the black male out of the house for whatever reason. That means you were all right to produce babies, but after that, you got to carry your ass, excuse my language. And that was it. So you ended up with a whole generation. Matter of fact, you ended up now it's been three generations of females with no male in life.
Yeah.
They got children, but now who's going to guide these children? Who's going to take these little boys who's now in a female in a household and say, guess what? You going to be a man in the house. I'm going to show you how to be a man. Because the men became missing. Then you got women who say, well, you know what, I don't have a man. I'm going out with my girlfriend. I'm going to spend a night at Sue's house or whatever. And then we're going to drink some wine. And one thing leads to another. And then we do some experimentation. It happens every day. But the aftermath of all of that is that what did it produce? It produced a generation of dysfunctional black households with no families. And we now that we know the problem, we need to go fix it.
We need to fix it.
Yeah, we need to stop taking little boys and telling them, you know, it's all right to play sports. It's just good for the soul or good for their energy. But teach them how to be men. I sure got a chance to view my only grandson. I got all granddaughters. I got one grandson. But I try to keep him as much as I can because we live in two different states, which is only 2 hours away. But I try to spend as much time as I can with him because technically his father works a lot and there's some issues there. So he doesn't participate like he should. I'm not saying he's a bad brother. He has some issues in his life that he hasn't straightened out. But the thing of the matter is, I'm not going to allow my grandson to become something negative. I'm not going to do that.
Absolutely. We have a caller.
Thank you,
caller. Your mic is open. 3338. How are you? Welcome in.
I'm just listening. I'm not going to comment.
Okay, you press star 61. You got to say something. I know who this is, too. So, come on. I wanna
hello, everyone. How y'all doing? Y'all have interesting conversation, and I'm going to be all ears this evening. But, I'll say this here. The gentleman that's speaking is making great valid points, and he was kept saying for whatever reason. Now that was specific reason that they were doing what they're doing, and even all these shows that people watch that they entertain, and the shows are not entertaining them; they are entertaining shows. So, what you entertain is what you retain. And what you retain is what you contain. So G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. So these shows aren't just on there just for to make advertising dollars. It's to create mindsets. Folks having Empire Watch parties and watching these shows on Housewives of Atlanta.
Right, bro.
Do you notice
right.
On Housewives of Atlanta, none of the guys are financially stable, and then the one guy that was on there that was financially stable, the football player, I think he's married to a young lady named Portia or something, he ended up divorcing her and leaving her. But all the other situations, whereas the female is the dominant breadwinner, and the guys kowtow to them. Even the one that was actually married, what's the main star, Nene, and her and her husband split for one while, and then when he got back together before they split up, he was, you know, he took control of the house and he made decisions that was trying to be progressive, functional, positive, move on. Not that he was always right, but he was trying to do the right thing. Now that she has become the item that she has become, you look, now he walks behind her like a little puppy and doesn't do things to keep things in structure and order. So all these things are programmed for to keep you broken and keep you out of balance, because if you have actually not just an adult-age male in the house, one that conducts himself in the spirit of man, and man is the prefix of the word manage. Manage is the base word of manager, and that is someone that is managing. So man is a title earned by a role being fulfilled, not just because you 18 or 21 or size of your hand, waistband, or what's in your pants. It's a spirit of. And so therefore you have certain mannerisms as you increase in your man age, and then you should increase in the way you manage, and that's the mandate. But we now teach those things. We teach machoism, we teach John Wayneism, I'm hard, da da da. That's what is that is constantly instilled in the male psyche, that he got to be hard and tough like that. And so you got to
And another thing, let me say this too. And another thing that I find, and you're a man, and you have a son. What I want to know is, why is it that men continue to teach young men that you should go out and chase women?
Well, you want to confuse man with adult age male. I just said what man is and what man is not. You understand?
Okay,
so you automatically
I heard
exactly what you said.
Right.
And you asked why
address
this. Okay,
yeah.
I've already addressed it. I said man is a prefix of the word manage. Okay, so you got the difference between man and adult age male, because
okay,
that's
so
what.
Okay, so then why are males teach other males to go out and conquer women? Why won't they learn to be men? Why don't you men that know about man and managing, why don't y'all talk to y'all friends about not teaching not continuing that, not perpetuating that?
Well,
maybe I should
perpetuating, well, you have, you have a, this is a societal thing, and you tell the males to he said that makes him on his conquest, that makes him more dominant, and he's a superior alpha male. And then the females are told, well, not anymore, but used to be told, go find your good man to take care of you. So whereas the female here was more willing to work the male than work with him, because when he gets trying to tell us something, oh, you can't tell me what to do. You think you right. You want to do things your way, but I can put something in your hand, but I can't put nothing in your head. So it's a vicious cycle on both sides of the genders. A vicious cycle. Yeah, and it's society. Yeah, it's
society. But are they trying? I don't see the effort. I mean, mentorship is what.
Well, I tell you what, I got a great phone call last 2 months ago, but then I got a text a year ago. The text was, "Oh, what I was called? Oh, you are a fault finder and a joy killer." And that comes from my son, right? Well, he was partially right. I ain't no fault finder, because you present the fault, I just acknowledge him. And yeah, I'll probably be a joy killer, because I ain't going to go alone and get alone. But then, now fast forward to 2 months ago, I get a phone call. "Hey, Dad, how you doing?" "I'm well, fine. I just want to thank you." I'm like, okay. "For staying on me, making me do things the right way, going back out there and finishing stuff. And if I missed a spot on the car, that I had to go back over there and do it over. I just want to thank you for just staying on me like you did. I'm like, whoa. Okay. Yeah, these guys around here, they sorry. So, now, because he didn't come up with the...
What's the woman talk? How to treat women?
I think my son treats his family and his and women very well. I just don't like the point of certain language you use. I'm not with that cussing and stuff like that. But it's bo-ass. But see, this is the thing I'm coming out of. See, my mama conditioned me and trained me to be a captain of the Captain Save a Ho 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 Merry Christmas Club. And then even with my aunt from a child, I've been taught, do this, take care of that, So I have to learn not to back off, because even with my own mama, I realized my mama worked me into the ground quicker than she would work with me. Now, but she trained me up well, but then I have to start backing off and putting brakes on it with her. Why? Because it's societal thinking. You the man, you more of a man because you go out there and you work 16 hours a day, you take this, you provide that out. So you man based on your ability to provide and give. But in this society, whereas they have things like battle of the sexes, independent. Ain't no, when you battling other sexes, it's like you beating on your own self. If a man trying to suppress a woman, a male trying to suppress a female, then he's suppressing himself. If a female is trying to undermine the male, she's undermining herself. So it's already a spiritual, mental, physical, and financial battle already set up here. Set up for failure.
And another thing I might want to add, we have walked away from being African people with our own values.
Right.
We have forgotten about our own values. We have incorporated European and Asian ideologies.
Assimilated.
Into our culture, which was not there 60 years ago.
Right. We was communal.
Right. We lived in a communal environment. I remember my grandfather and my grandmother, you know, there was some equality in the house. She knew that my grandfather was a breadwinner. He did certain things, and she took care of certain things, but it was never a battle. It was never a battle of
And he said the rules, and she enforced them.
Right.
Yes, she enforced them. Women did the butt whooping.
They were the enforcers, and that's how it was in Africa. That if you look at the African value system, the men set the rules, and the women enforce the rules, and the children abided by the rules. Even down to the movie Roots, which I had never seen before because I never had time to look at it. And when Kunta Kinte became a man, he had to get out of the house and go feed for himself. Well, we have done too much babysitting of adults. It's good to help your children. It's good to nurture them. But what happens if you expire? Teach them how to survive on their own. Give them some skills in life. For young men, yeah, and I understand what you said, Ashira, but nobody, you can't, it's hard to walk into a household, regardless of who the male is, and say to that male, guess what? You need to teach your young brother or your young son how to love women and how to understand women. Because, see, then you got an argument. Man, how the hell you going to tell me how to raise my son? See, there's no together.
But you don't wait till they're grown. You don't wait till they're grown.
But it ain't even waiting till grown. You can't tell them nothing now from the hood rats now. I got a mark over on my chest, over right next to my on my chest from extension cord. From 8 years old, when I didn't wash some dishes, my mom like told me I broke and run. She swung the extension cord and it wrapped around me. But I thank her now. I thank her for that mark right on my heart. I say it held me accountable. But now the mamas on the cover for the boys. I call them I call him a spiritual man eater, because you're trying to raise him up. You got to fight. Now you got to fight with the mamas to tell, try to tell the son something. Oh, that's my baby. Da 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 da. So it's we're in a whole different realm. I saw the difference between from the 60s, and then it started making that manifest and that change in the 70s. And by the time the 80s, it was a monster. It was a monster. That's why my son telling me thank you, because the basic, you got 30 guys, 30 years old, don't know how to change tires. So he can get out there, he can drop his transmission, he can do brake jobs, he can do this. So now everybody around here tripping. He looks like stuff that was basic to my generation. Now he's looking like some kind of superstar. How you know how to do
because
that?
They didn't have, is it because they didn't have those fathers or those males around them, though?
Well, true that to a certain degree. But then mamas right now, they come up on the Nintendo generation. They come up with Central Lab, Nintendo, Xbox, microwave oven, TVs with 100 channels. And so now, you can't tell them, no, that's my baby. You don't tell them or something. Because I ain't fought to right now. I'm through fighting. So now I'm trying to turn in my caps and say the same. But it was a war. Even with my own mom, I had to tell her, I said, look, you held me accountable. I said one time, I said, fucking, you almost knocked all my teeth out of my mouth. My nephew.
Okay, we're gonna take a. Let's take. What? On that note,
we're
not, ooh, your mom knocking your teeth down, Lord.
Yeah, yeah. I thank her for it.
All right, Mama.
Yes, sir.
She looked me in the eyes, and I swear she saw my soul. This word is too cold. I just wanna grow old. Have some kids, but see too many mothers bury their sons. But just know, all good things don't happen under the sun. It's universal. Speak positive to my peers who see nothing but negative years and sharing their tears. But just remember that there's another side where we go, where we die. Sperm help multiply, smiles and cries. We hide no access to emotions. We got ups and downs like the waves.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
I want to read a few things that this article mentions in regards to how do you know when you have found your soulmate. One is you communicate without speaking. Soulmates can read each other like an open book. They can connect on any level, and they just feel like they simply can't be without that partner. And number two, you know in your gut that you found the one. The old adage, when you know, rings true when it comes to a soulmate connection. There's really no guessing or wondering when the real thing comes along. A telltale sign that lets you know when true love has arrived, a voice in your head, a sense of recognition, or a gut feeling that this is someone special to you. Number three, the physical chemistry. Feel this electricity, and it happens on other levels other than a sexual level, such as holding the hand of that person. It just throws your spirit into a whirlwind. Number four, you've been totally comfortable around each other since day one, so you just feel this sense of comfort, this familiar sense of comfort. It's easy for you to be yourself and relax around that person. They love you, like what was mentioned in, and I said that I was going to remember that quote in Being Mary Jane. I love you. What was it, Aja? I love you and all your ugly truth. I love you and your ugly truth, or something like that. So that soulmate person loves you and all your ugly truths, your faults, the good, the bad, and the ugly, essentially.
Right.
Number five.
Well, like John Legend say, he has perfect imperfections.
Your Perfect Imperfection. I haven't heard that song, but I've heard that. What is that the name of the song?
No, that's a song, and say I love you even even your perfect imperfection.
What song is that from?
I don't know the name of songs. I don't even know the words to one whole song, period.
And then number five, the relationship. Oh, that's a good one. Your Perfect Imperfections. I do like that. And number five, but the relationship is in all rainbows and butterflies. He or she challenges you like no one else can. The soulmate relationship, despite what people may assume, isn't always smooth sailing. Soulmate isn't always wrapped in the fight physically or in terms of life circumstances. What does it mean that the relationship will continue without challenge? Yet the difference is that the life circumstances and the difficult challenges are a strengthening power that becomes the glue that keeps you together through the time and helps each of you become your most authentic self, a stronger version of yourself, I like to say. What's more, we rely on our soulmates to help us evolve as people. Ah, that's my thing. Enhance somebody's life. If you cannot enhance my life and I cannot enhance your life, we really don't need to have too much communication going on.
But you know the sad part about
it? The song is All of Me. The song that he was referring to is All of Me by John.
Okay.
All of Me.
All right. But you know the sad part about it, and all those things you said was great, but see, we have to.
I have a few more to share. I have three more to share. Hold that thought. Okay. Let me see. Okay, number six. You may not see eye to eye on every little thing, but you're on the same page where it really matters. A soulmate relationship doesn't necessarily mean both partners always share the same views, but that their overall goals and ambitions match. More diminutive opinions will differ, but soulmates generally have the same virtues and values and see the world through a similar lens. That's just like, oh my God, just being with somebody that's your complete opposite. Y'all don't get along or agree on absolutely nothing. I know that they say opposites attract and all of that, but I think that there are just some things that, well, I'll say this for me. Yeah, I know I couldn't be with anyone that felt completely the opposite as I did when it was to say religion or black people, black thoughts, black issues, things like that. I couldn't be with anyone.
Moral issues.
Morality. Moral issues, yeah, definitely that. And let me see, okay, numbers. You have a comment?
No, I was going to comment on one of the comments you made about if they have the same values and virtues, but go ahead on. I'll comment on it later.
Okay. Let me just finish these last three. The relationship brings both partners a sense of inner calm. I mentioned that earlier. Tranquility. Well, let me say this. Don't disrupt my tranquility. Okay, that's better. Disrupt my tranquility. I don't need you coming in here with all that mess disrupting my peace, because I'm at peace. So there's the relationship brings both partners a sense of inner calm. It's obvious when you're with the wrong person, you are insecure about the relationship and worry that one false move will turn your partner off. That's not the case. You feel confident that the partner is with you for the long haul. Okay. Your inner voice tells you that you are in a healthy relationship. You trust each other, feel confident and comfortable around each other, and feel safe discussing challenging topics in a mature way. Okay, last two. You and your partner have separate identities, but you face the world as one. Soulmates recognize that there are two parts of the same whole, and no outside influence or external matter can break that bond. I love that. Last one. You may have known each other for years, but you suddenly find yourselves ready for love at the same time. When it comes to true love, timing is everything. And let's see. one day you may run into each other. Sometimes it's magical. Love blossoms, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So those are 9 signs that you found your soulmate. All right. Yeah. Okay, I think you had a question, a comment you wanted to make.
Well, you were saying about values and virtues. And and like they say, the same values and virtues. And now, their values and your virtues might not be righteous or proper, but y'all got the same one, so they make themselves a good soulmate. And then, they understand people always talk about, see, we so caught up in romance. Do y'all know what romance is based on? It's based on wrong. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, what we understand it to mean is something nice and beautiful, and a person, you know, does pretty things for you and all those kind of stuff. But our society is so commercialized, you are told what to like, when to like, how to like it. Then we have just something so very, I don't think is proper, falling in love. When you fall, that was an accidental incident. There was no intention. So now you may be feeling lust, you may be feeling obsession. You don't even know this person. Now, you love things about them, but do you really love that person? And you don't even really know them? So then now you ain't got up and you got caught up on this hype and you're feeling good because them, what those called, dopamines are being stimulated. And it's good, this, that, and it's all the fun part is there. But when the reality, when it comes down, well, they might like to play with your behind, but would they wipe your behind for you when you can't wipe it for yourself?
So do you think people can what do they say, love at first sight? Do you think people can have love at first sight?
They have a strong attraction at first sight, and they happen to everything work out, but you come to find out this person is a monster. Now you got this chemical connecting, this charge, and everything is beautiful. You know what I mean? And so society tells us what the guy's supposed to do. It's like Valentine's Day. Well, Valentine's supposed to be for the day of lovers, but it's told that the man's supposed to go out and get this for the woman such and such, and if he don't get a certain thing, then such and such. But he might do stuff all year round. But on that one particular day, if he don't get something this big, that eye, such and such, and this says something. So you in this society that pushes the madness, but go back to point number 6 or 7 or whatever it was. If you got the same values and virtues, it should be okay. So that's your soulmate. Now, what is your soul? First, you have to understand the soul, because it's 3 parts of us: is spirit, soul, and flesh. You understand? The soul is the in between the spirit and the flesh, and so it's based on the mind. And so we got the same mindset. So that's basically what you're saying. We have the same mindset, even though we might not agree on everything. Well, we got the same mindset. So Bonnie and Clyde, they were soulmates. They went out and robbed and shot up people, but they rode, you know, they rode together like four, you know, like 4 flat tires, or however
they
go.
Ride or die for each other.
Yeah,
they
ride or
like
die.
Like 4 flat tires.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Okay,
so
Aja, you had something you wanted to share? I think Aja was trying to get in and say a little something.
That's okay.
You mentioned something about interrupting the peace. Tranquility.
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
A thought came to my mind when you mentioned that. I love nature. I mean, it's just, if I met somebody that just started speaking about how they love to go to the park and they love trees, that would be a point in my pros and cons. It would be a point for him in my pros because I love nature. So I met this guy. And I told him about how I love to go to the park. It's a ritual of mine. That's why I can I connect with nature. I'm at peace. It's tranquil. I have to have it. So this guy went with me to the park, my favorite park, and I told him how I just walk around the park and I just enjoy the trees and I'm, you know, mentally connecting with the trees, blah, 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 this whole nature thing. So he wanted to just kind of analyze it. How
how far do you walk, and how long does it take you to get to here to there, and is it 20 minutes or is it 15 minutes? And I'm like, what? You know, and I said, I never really timed it, because when I'm here, I'm not on a clock. In fact, I don't even take my watch. In fact, I would tell my family, Mom, I'm getting ready to go to the park. I'll be out of touch for a couple of hours. I don't say I'll be out of touch to 2:30. I'll be out of touch for a couple of hours. I'm going to the park. So this guy just kept analyzing. Well, I mean, when you get down here, is it 20 minutes or is it 25? And it just, I got to the point where I actually sat down on the ground. I mean, it just like you're watching a movie and then it just suddenly, you know. And right. It just threw me. I knew then he's not the one. He's not the one. If you can't get with me on something that I feel passionate about, and I think that's important too in your things to notice. If you are passionate about something, say for instance painting or drawing, that person doesn't have to be passionate about it like you, but they can appreciate it. If you say, look, babe, look what I drew. Yes, right. Yes, be supportive. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty. I like that. How did you do that? How long did it take you to do that? Oh, I just did it, you know, and they're happy with you about it. But if they say, that ain't nothing, about something that I'm passionate about, you're not the one. You're not the one. So I think passion is important, too. Passion is very, very important. Whether it's, and I don't mean just in the bed. You can be passionate about anything. I'm passionate about dancing. If I met somebody that didn't like to dance, that would be kind of hard, you know, for me. I mean, do a two-step, do something. But if you don't like to get out on the floor and you don't like to see me dance, we're not going to click, because I'm passionate about dancing. So that's my rule.
And you brought up some very good point. And my analogy of what we should understand is that, first of all, life is a two-way street. It can't be all my way or it can't be the highway. I have to be able to compensate for what I don't understand about a woman. If I meet a woman and she said, like you said, let's go to the park, sure. I don't have time. You don't have time in this life, every life, to analyze everything if you want to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. Okay? If you want to do something, even if I don't like it, let me make myself like it to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what's missing. See, men get this stigmatism where, you know, I don't like to do that, and I like to go to ball games. And I know my wife asked me one time. She said, "Why she'll never go to no guy's house and watch the game?" I said, "Number one, I play poker normally twice a week because I'm a gambler, but that's my thing. We go to the casino maybe once or twice a year, and we spend time together. She plays the slots, and I play poker." Or I play the horses. We do that together. She never told me, well, I don't want to go to no casino and lose no money. I don't want to do that because we're going to be broke. See, negativity in a relationship, regardless of what you do, do not produce positive results. Okay? She is real artistic about decorating. Well, we moved into our house.
Send her to my house because I need some help.
Yeah, there's a slight fee, though, but I mean, we can worry about that.
Yeah. I ain't got no problem.
She's real artistic about decorating. So when the house we had prior to the hurricane destroying our other house, we sit ourselves down together. We said, well, we're going to do this, and she didn't know that I should be a contract. And, you know, I laid the carpet, I painted the house, I did some, put life issues up, you know. She said, well, when did you learn how to do all that? I said, well, in the course of my life, you know, I had to have several jobs, so I had to learn how to do things that I hadn't been able to take care of my family. But in all essence, when we moved into the new house after we had built, I You do the decorating. I won't decorate because that's not what I do. I said, what you want in the house, you put in the house. Whatever furniture you pick out, I buy it and put it in there. Because we lost everything. So in our relationships, what we have to, it's a give and take situation.
Right.
You know, we have to understand, like you said, the guy went to the park and asked you what time it was, well, you should have left him on the curb. Who goes to a park with a woman? If you say, well, I like nature and I like to go to the park. Well, guess what? Let's go to the park, get us a bottle of wine or get us a drink or some cold drinks or something. Even if you don't get none of us some water, we sit down on the grass together, eat on the bench, and that mind nature together. You have to understand, right, as black men, it can't be all our way. Get right. that mess out of your head because it don't happen. It's not
why
going
have to. Why is that a black man thing? Why it just ain't a man thing?
Well, because I always speak for my African.
We're talking about black love.
Right. Oh, that's what we're talking about.
I'm talking about black love.
This is the Black Butter Love Show. Hell yes.
We just
got to talking about the fact that the European society has changed our way of doing things, so we're trying to get away from that. We're trying to get back to our way.
That's right.
Of expressing ourselves.
Right. We have been expressing ourselves by Europeans by epitomizing Europeans for over 2,000 years. Okay, it's time to get away from that. It's time to understand that that doesn't necessarily mean that I got to run around with a dashiki on, with an afro, with my fist raised, because that doesn't produce a conscious atmosphere or a mind. Consciousness comes from within. So when I'm dealing with a person, and, you know, like I said, me and Sherry got a good connection. And me and my wife sat down and ate oxtails and jerk chicken. But I'm just saying, we don't, as black males, we don't understand how to deal with our women. These are our women. These are not European women. And I was looking at a documentary at 3 o'clock this morning. I guess that's why I overslept, because I've been up all night. On Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and there's so many athletes that he left his Muslim wife that he had 3 kids by, and married this white woman who was a Buddhist, and ended up leaving her. But it just goes to show you that we can get caught up into these Asiatic religions, forget about where we came from, mm-hmm. and get caught up with European women. You understand me? Once we make the millions and millions and millions of dollars, and we leave our natural habitat to end up mm-hmm. with these women, I think now he ain't got nobody. But I'm just saying that mm-hmm. to say this. We have to understand how to deal with our women. Our women are hurt. We have to make our women not just our lovers.
We all hurt. The males hurt also. And I'm not saying a tit for tat thing, but we all messed up.
Talk for 45 minutes. Can I please say something? I listened to you for 40 minutes. Okay? What I'm saying is that we as African men, not black men, because black does not connotate where you came from. We as African men had to understand how our women have been hurt over the years. We as African men must understand that our women need us and let them know that we need them. So like I said, it's a two-way street. We have to get back to the basics. I should be able to approach a black woman who I might see in dire need of straits and help her without me having to know her address or where she live at, so I can go around there and get business. You know, all relationships should not be built up upon that. And that's a stigmatism that the black male, we have to start raising our little boys to understand that, so that they can become the men and the gentlemen that they need to be in order to attract females. I took my grandson last week, and it took me like 3 or 4 hours to try to get him a decent haircut. You know, And I'm in this barbershop where these guys are in there lollygagging about the football game. Nobody's really pushing to get the business of haircutting out of the way. So in walks this white woman with two, you know, children that six children. And just as soon as she walked out of the door, they were drooling at them now. The black woman came in there with her little boy. Ain't say nothing to her. See,
right.
the energy that was put out, and man, when I walked up, and she said one or two words to this one barber, and he knew that one was her, who was in the military. And shit, I got a chance at that, man. Shit, she on, that nigga on, he on the ship. I got a chance at that. See, and they forgot all about the business of cutting hair. And I got up, I stayed in there so long, I went in there and went to sleep. They still and I got to my grandson, so I left. You know, but we their minds are trained to think that our women are all bad. Now, we might have situations where we run into some of these women who have been raised in a negative manner that I spoke before earlier. They have been raised, and men ain't shit. You know, don't work, though. You go for yourself, don't do this, and don't let no man get no advantage over you and all that, because I come out of one of those relationships. After 20 years, I come out of that relationship, and I refuse to go back into one. I refuse that. I'm not going to let anybody, I'm not going to try to make a footstool out of a woman, and I'm not going to let a woman make a footstool out of me. So that's a two-way street. But we should understand how to nurture our women in our lives and our wives or whatever. And we need to understand the difference between what we can do to help women as our sisters and what we can do to help women as our lovers.
Thank you, Brother Brown. It's so good to hear a man say those things. It really is. We as black women are really hurting. We're hurting in a different way than other women are hurting.
We
feel as if, I mean, we're at the bottom of the totem pole anyway.
Right. And you've always been there.
Yes, this has always been true. But we've had our men beside us,
right,
fighting this together.
At the same time. Yeah.
But now we just don't feel that we have them alongside us. We feel as if they have jumped ship. Now, I know men like
they've abandoned us.
Yes, like they have abandoned us.
Do they now
want to
be independent? I'm asking. That's a question, because everybody was telling me it was one big point in time, oh, I'm independent. Then you had these guys in the magazine, I want an independent woman. What does that do? Somebody you don't have to help? What are you talking about, independent?
Okay, I got this one. I love that. You know, that's my thing. Thank
all
you.
Independent
and stuff. Okay. All right. Let me get my little spiel on this one. Okay. This is a turmoil that Aj is saying. Part of it. All right. You meet these men. Oh, she a gold digger. All she want is my money. I ain't got time to be giving her all my money and blah, 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 blah. All right, all of this. Okay. So then when a woman get out here and try to make some money so she can do for herself and her family, because she's probably a single mother, whatever, then she's been forced, she's been put in that position to have to get out here and work, have to be the breadwinner in the house, and do all of these things, play the mother role and try to be the man of the house too, and all of that stuff.
Put oil in the car.
So then, yeah, go put gas in a car, all that bullshit that women shouldn't be having to do. And
I know, but I taught my daughters how to change oil and spark plugs, tires.
Well, you know what? Really, I don't even think that a woman should have to do that. It's good to maybe know
that. It ain't that she should have to, but if she knows, if she has to, she can.
I'm gonna pay somebody to do that. And I would rather have a man in my life that's gonna say, "Hey, baby, I hear your car making a sound. Let me get your keys and go handle that."
Right.
Okay,
right.
That's how I think a man should handle that. Don't be showing me how to change no goddamn spark plug. When let me tell you
something. My daughter's
when
gonna
I,
know
when I did
spark plug,
good,
tires,
good,
and
good
all.
Form,
my daughter's
good
are.
Form because that's good. That's good for them. Because when I wanted, I'm going to tell you now, when I wanted to learn how to do that, when I was in high school, and I did, I wanted to take auto mechanics because I used to help
you
my
sure
uncle
did.
Work on cars.
Yeah.
Yes. I used to help my uncle work on cars because that's what he do, refurbish and rebuild cars. So I can do that. But when I got ready to go to class, auto mechanics, and take that, my dad told me, "You out your rabbit mind. You will not be doing that. You're a woman. You're going to have
right.
a man to do that for you, okay?"
That's right.
So let's stop all that bullshit
so
right
what
now.
If a man
okay,
ain't around,
so,
then, if you need it, what you going to do?
I'm going to take my Chevrolet truck. I'm going to take it up to Chevrolet or my mechanic.
But what if you don't have
the
money?
Triple A or
Geico.
Okay,
what if you don't have the money?
Hold on, we got to take a break. We'll come right back, and I'm going to deal with all of that. Okay.
You're going to deal with it.
Good question, Mike. Good question, Mike. Oh, yeah, I'm going to...
Have you thought about getting into podcasting but don't know where to start? Have something to say to the world but don't know how? The popularity of podcasts and internet radio streaming continues to grow with millions of people on the planet gaining internet connectivity through a multitude of devices. In the current media age, people can browse internet radio stations or listen to podcasts right from the dashboard of their cars. There are few barriers to anyone who wants to produce internet-based media. To encourage media production for black people by black people, if you are an independent black media producer or want to become one, the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project is offering unlimited and unmetered podcast hosting services below industry pricing. Need more information about the industry and the technology? Find out how to create internet-based radio broadcasts and or podcasts at www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Again, that's www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
And we are back. It's the Black Butter Love Show here at the Lotus Place on blacktalkradio.net. And we are talking about having your soulmate versus your cellmate. And I have some people that are sending me messages, and they're saying, what's the cellmate relationship? Well, that cellmate relationship is, it's like when you're forced to live with somebody, like in a cell. This is nobody
feeling like
you know or care about or love.
Ooh, no.
Yeah, you feel like you're in prison. It's just it's this relationship that's just killing you.
Ooh,
and you know, some people may say, "Well, why don't you just get out of it?" Well, some people are in these relationships. They say, "Oh, I got to stay in a relationship for the children," or "He pays the bills," or "She this or that or whatever." So they just end up staying in these relationships. They've been together for so long. It's cheaper to keep her. You know, we've heard it all. So people, they stay in
right.
these relationships knowing that it's a dead-end relationship. Oh, they can't afford to get the divorce and all that dumb shit. You know, so they just stay in a relationship or whatever. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Now, Mike brought up something, a point about independent women. So we were touching on that. And so let me just share this. Independent women, okay. So like the song Independent Woman, I think Destiny's Child came out with all of that. But even before that, you know, women were talking about all this independence, which really all of that crap came from white women and the white women's movement and what is it, the white women's rights and all that bullshit that they dragged. black women into, we were already equal to our men. You can see that in the it was depicted in the many statues in Egypt and the many pictures in Africa, in all parts of Africa. You can see the communal living, the community type, the man and the women, the man and the woman both sitting side by side, or she's standing
right
there with him, or she's with
right
him, he's with her. So we've always had
right
that type of relationship. But black women let white women come in and talk them into this bull crap about, oh, we want to have equal rights. And all, hell, we were working. We were
right.
Not only were we working, even before we were entrapped in this hell of an existence over here, we were running dynasties. You had the Kansases.
Right.
You had the,
right,
the female pharaohs. So, I mean, we've always been in rulership positions. That's been new for us. So, back to this independence. So, we let white women pull us into this, you know, oh, well, you know, you can do it by yourself, girl. We don't need the men and all of that. Like Frances Ellen Harper, who I love so much, a writer and an author and a poet, 18th century, brilliant woman. She spoke about this. She was friends with Frederick Douglass and Ida B. Wells, and she spoke about how, as black women, we stand by our black men because at that time the white women were trying to get the black women to vote for women to have the vote more so than, you know, men have the vote. But exactly, the women's suffrage movement and all of that.
Movement.
But black women like, black women like Frances Ellen Harper, they were saying, listen, we're equal. So when my man vote, he's voting for us. He's not just voting
right
on what he thinks. He's voting on what we, as a couple and as a family, as a unit. Okay, so that's how it was. But then we slipped up and let these people trick us into going into this false fight against our men. And so, again,
right,
like Brother Brown mentioned, bringing all of this in, oh, I'm going to give you a welfare check. I'm going to give you some WIC and all of this. I'm going to give you a little Section 8 apartment and all of this, so you move your man out and you can't have him. So we grew into that little whole phase of, yeah, I can do it by myself. And then that just unraveled the whole connection that black men and women have working together.
Exactly.
And so women started being on their own. Men were separate because this whole fucked up ass system gave black women the opportunity to work and earn money.
Come
and
on,
left the black man out. Yeah, they left the
right
black man out. So therefore, black women were making more money than black men in a lot of cases, and even now today. And so that's what we
right
see. And so you see these women who now feel like, well, shit, he can't do nothing for me. Hell, I can do it by myself. I'm going to be mother and father, and I'm a happy Father's Mother's Day eat. You know, and all that old crazy stuff, you know. Well, I'm not going to say crazy because that's how some women feel, and that's just what they, I don't agree with it, because you can't be a man. You're a woman. Just come on and be the woman, okay? Just be the woman. And so all of that, I said all of that to say this. So women got trapped into this, oh, I'm independent. I can do this. I have to do it on my own because
I have
guess
to
what? Black men, yeah, I have to, because black men have abandoned us. He's not here. He's not in the home. And really, you know, he was pushed out of the home. And when women
right
don't understand how he was systematically pushed out of the home,
right,
then they adopt this whole feeling of, well,
right,
it's going to be, exactly, all by design. So then they feel like, well, I'm just going to be independent. I can do it by myself. But a lot of women, like myself, I don't want to be, oh, I'm out here, I'm
and
independent.
And myself.
Hell, thank you. Hell to the no. I want a man in my house. People always ask me, I'm 44, I have no children. They ask me, why don't you have any children? Because I don't want to raise them by myself. And then when
I
do have them, I want to be able to provide for them.
Sister Rose, can
yes
I chime in here?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, this Scotty, I was just talking. Hey, what's going on, Brother Brown? I was just having a conversation where I tried to interview Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, and she brought up this thing
mm-hmm
about black men are incapable because of white supremacy of being fathers or being husbands and whatnot. But I, you know, I'm divorced. I got divorced. I got custody of my two daughters from that marriage when they were just, you know, before they even started school. Okay. And so I'm very sensitive when people start talking about, you know, black fathers is missing. So I'm always on the lookout for information to debunk that myth. And it is a myth. And, there was a 2013, Health Center for Statistics. I think it's the name of it, but it's a government agency that completed a study that showed that black men who were in the home and out of the home were more involved in raising their children than any other group in this country. And then another point is that it's similar to what y'all was just making. See, what they like to cite is this 70% single mother statistic, you know, unwed mothers and whatnot. Well, guess what? Just because they listed on government paperwork as being single, and they may be unmarried. Okay, well, they are unmarried, but that don't mean there's not a father around. They just because he may be hiding from you when you come, you know, to do the things that you were just talking about. So, you know, you can. It's one thing to say that, okay, we need to bring back marriage in the black community, but it is not a whole bunch of single mothers. 70% of these black women are not doing it by themselves. And then I found another study done by a university that showed that, again, that black women have the largest support, have the best support network when they need help with their children than any other demographic. So it's a lot of bad mouthing. It's a lot of bad mouthing of the black community based on statistics that are not taken into context and not taken into, you know, a whole lot of other factors. And so I just wanted to share that.
I appreciate that. But
what
our people don't understand about some of those statistical data reading to that. And I learned this when I took statistics. It's only an example of a given sample. It's not the whole. You take a percentage of the people that is in that sample, and you give their viewpoints, and that doesn't include the whole community. So when they do these statistics and they do this shit, it's biased. They might take 1,000 people. There's more than 1,000 black women and black men in this country. So when you take 1,000 of people that you handpicked, and then you get information from them, and then you run your statistical data to show this percentage, well, it's going to be the way that you want it. Statistics are rigged up. It's based on a given sample. But because our people, nobody has explained that to our people, then they fall for it. And again, we go right back to the white man's rights is colder than the black man's rights.
Repeat that. I didn't understand. What'd you say there? I didn't catch that.
White man's ice is colder than the black
man's. Good. All right.
From Dr. Carter G. Wilson's Miseducation of the Negro. In other words, Dr. Carter G. Wilson, in reference to what I just said, was telling us that anytime white people give us something, we run to it as if it was the gospel, though, as if it was law.
Man, you better speak on that. Ooh, weird.
Yeah, my God. Woo! Not understanding that everything that white people say do is not legitimately right. No. Because most of what they say or most of what they think is right, they stole from us. So until we get the mindset to understand, as Dr. Wilson said, about white supremacy and racism as a system of oppression. Now, I don't agree that all black men are negative fathers, no, because like I said, in my relationship with my first wife, we had issues, instead of us coming together, she came up with this independent shit, so I let her be independent. Yeah, she's still independent.
Independent woman.
But ain't no such thing as independent. There's no such thing. That's why the scripture says. Right. No man's island.
Like Bobby Wright said, he who defines words rule. The words that these so-called people use
right.
from European construction,
come on,
they
now.
Don't ever know the meaning of.
Come on, man. You better talk about that. Pass the collection plate.
I believe in the origin.
Come on, man. Woo, it's going to make me jump up and start shouting. Lord, I got to get up. I got to get up. I got to get up and move around. The spirit moved me. My brother putting it down. Come on, talk about it. My God.
We're a stand of separation. We don't need to be separated from our women.
Man.
We don't need to be separated from us. See, the communal living and the uniformity that we had is gone.
Jeez.
You have to understand that even though now me and my wife and we've been apart for over 14 years, that has never separated me from my children.
Uh-huh.
That has never separated me from my grandchildren. I never have an issue with my children. I never have an issue with my grandchildren. I have an issue with you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to dispute the impact. I know the impact of racism and white supremacy on our community, and I know it's a global system. But at the same time, though, we can't overstate the problem and act like, you know, when you say that black men are incapable of being good fathers or incapable of being husbands, I know that to be patently false now.
Yeah, that's totally false. Mm-hmm. I can't agree with that because my daughter right now, the one who's, she'll be 21 in February, okay, she's going to school based upon me working for a union and providing an education for her that she has to pay nothing. As long as she makes the grades, her education is free. Okay? And I told her that this is why I worked hard all my life, to provide this for you. So she has not paid one dime. She goes to Division I school, one of the best schools in the state of Virginia, Old Dominion University, and she has not paid one dime yet for anything. She gets books, she gets housing, she gets it all. And see, so if it wasn't for me working my hind pass off and making that available to her, you know, and making sure that, you know, not that I couldn't pay for her to go to college, but I saw an avenue that she could go to college because she was smart, and I saw an avenue that she could go to, I could make this available to her as her father.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that I took care of her all of her life. Even though I was not with her mother for the last 14 years since she was 6 or 7 years old, but I never stopped taking care of her. That goes from medical care and everything. So,
my dad was the same way. Yeah. Definitely. My dad was the same way, although my mom and father, they divorced when I was 8. He was still in my life. You know, he still was there. I talked to him today. So, yeah, men are certainly capable of being good fathers and being in the home. But for the record,
get bad stigmatism from people who have not taken a look at who we are. We get a bad rap all the time, and we get the same.
I want to go back to. Go ahead, Brother Brown. Go ahead on, finish that up.
We get the same bad rap when it comes to fundamentally dealing with our women. Those of us who are conscious and have a positive mindset, see, we're just saying to our sister, "Yeah, what do you need help? What can I do to help you?" Become a stronger sister. What can I do to help you? Not saying that, hey, if I help you, you know, you got to lay down in the bed with me, you got to do this and that.
Right.
No, I ain't trying to look for that.
Right,
that
right.
Let me say this.
Brother Brown, when I was with your wife and we were in that store shopping, honey, she was just picking out all kinds of things, and she was like, he'll be back. He'll be back. He got it. He'll be back. You know, because she knew that you were there to take care of her. And I'm not trying to say that men just supposed to snarl over their money and just, you know, buy everything. I'm just saying she knew that you had her back. You were there for her. You're being a man. You're providing for her, and so.
And even when you wanted something, you ran short. You said, "Well, I got the money, get this and that." I went right in my pocket and came out. And I said, "Look, we go ahead and give it you. Don't we straighten that later?" About the bracelet.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And that was
exactly.
it. But see, we have to learn. We not only have to institute that. We have to teach that to this younger generation of male. And I'm gonna say this before we go up there about don't try to nurture our young women to become so independent of a male that they don't make a male do his jobs. If the spark plugs need change, my wife has never done anything to this car, so she's never done anything to the car for the last 10 years since I've been with her. She don't have to worry about that. And she don't have to worry about that because guess what? That's what I'm supposed to do. Let me do my job. Let
exactly.
me do,
do
part
job.
Of the job that I have to do as a responsible man in this relationship. And that's the way we have to look at it.
Absolutely. Mike, no, I'm not changing spark plugs. I'm not changing tires. That's why I have OnStar. I'm just not doing that because I have my manicure, and I'm just not doing that. I'm a Southern Belle. I'm just not doing that. And good for those women who know how to do it. Maybe if you see me on the side of the road, maybe you can come and change my tire. But I'm just not going to do that. I just believe in just, you know, me being, I am. I'm just prim and proper when it comes to things like that. I'm just not going to do that. And so I'm just not one of those kind of independent women that, you know, I'm not going to let the man be the man. I'm not going to try to wear the pants in the house. I'm going to let him be a man. And if he can't be a man, then I just can't be with him because I want you
exactly.
to be a man. I'm not going to try to emasculate you like that. I want you to do all of that. My uncle and his wife, what did Ray say? He still put gas in Dee Dee's car. She don't go to
right.
the gas station to put gas in her car. He
exactly.
does that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, you know, there's still some men out there that, you know, kind of practice that old-fashioned way of being in a relationship. And I'm not saying that you just got to let this woman just be Queen Elizabeth. You know, she just don't touch nothing, don't just do anything. But there are cultures, and I think it's the Japanese culture, a woman is forbidden from touching a door. She don't touch doors. The man opens
right.
the door for her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Something happened
yeah.
to me the other day, and I'm going to share this with you. This is a little joke. I used to starch and iron my own shirts because most times the cleaners don't do heavy starch, and I like stiff shirts. So the other day I got up and I had some shirts, and I said, well, let me see if I can still do that. So I took all the clothes out. I took some of the clothes out of the wash machine, and I washed my shirts, and I dried them. So she asked me when she got up, she said, well, what are you doing washing clothes? I said, well, I live. She said, that ain't your job. She said, don't touch my washing machine or dry no more. She said, that's what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, and I'm just saying that to throw something out there. That's not to say that I'm not capable of doing it.
Right.
I'm the bread. When I go out there, I work, I hustle, I do my little paint jobs or whatever else I do, and I bring money in the house to take care of her. And she feel like that, you know, that's the least that she can do is watch me. She always, I never have to worry about dirty clothes at all. What I don't put in the cleaner is washed on a daily basis or every 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when that makes me feel good because I remember the time that I had a wife, but she didn't wash my clothes. And I had a wash and dry. So, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a give-and-take thing with our relationships. And, you know, we should understand what everybody's part is. We should uplift the women regardless of what they do. If she tells me, she said, well, I want to go to a museum. And guess what? I may not want to go to the museum, but guess what? We're going because she wants to go. I may not like going to church, but she decided she wanted to go to church, and I go with her.
Yeah, you do that, and I know that you're not practice American religion, Christianity,
I don't
but you do that.
Life. with her.
Hey, Mother Hattie is on the line with us. Is that Mother Hattie? Mother Hattie, is that you?
Oh, yes.
Hi. Hi, Mother Hattie.
Well, hello, everybody. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey. Hey.
I'm enjoying all this great...
My little dog is speaking. You hear my dog? Yeah. My dog is speaking to you, Mother Hattie.
Look here, you know I don't do dogs.
No, Mother Hattie don't do dogs. Definitely not a dog.
I don't talk dog talk. I don't talk dog talk.
Well, I'm so glad that you were able to join us, Mother Hattie. I do have our Women United statement up. And
wonderful.
I can read it. Yeah, let me see. I'm on the wrong computer. Okay, let me go to this one. This is our Women United statement. This is a working statement from Women United, founder Mother Hattie. She's on the line with us. Okay, this is a working statement from Women United regarding the attacks on black women such as Rekia Boyd, Ayanna Stanley Jones, Sandra Bland, and many others. Women United denounce and detest the vicious attacks on black women we have been historically plagued with and seems to have escalated in more recent times. We are 100% human beings and deserve to be protected and with equal justice under the law and other entities. The recent vicious behavior and disrespect of the lives of black women must stop. These are unconscionable, deplorable acts and actions occurring in a country that considers itself to be civil and democratic. A plan must be adopted and implemented immediately to stop the attack on black women. Women United is placing a call to action for all women groups, organizations, and men to rectify these crimes against the humanity of black women. To make your statement and to act to protect the humanity of our sisters, contact Women United at women.united7777@gmail.com. That's women.united7777@gmail.com. We implore you to join this fight and this mission to protect black women, to protect women all around. So, speaking of women, I was listening to right here in Texas, they have these detention camps for these women coming from Central America. And these women, they are going through such a horrible time. It's like they're in jail and they're trying to leave their country. A lot of them are from Honduras, and they're trying to leave Honduras because of all the war and conflict. And, you know,
aren't they on the hunger strike?
The unseen hand.
They're
on a hunger strike. Yeah, and it's not just a detention center here in Texas. I think they're doing it, like, in several other detention centers, too, around the country. And I think it's just a shame that, like, Cubans, when I was living in Miami, once the Cubans have fought for a policy, whereas, and the laws, whereas, if those Cubans that land, they're safe, they're fine. But Haitians,
right,
anybody else, like these people coming from Honduras, once they touch this land, they're forced into these detention centers and all of that stuff. And these women and children, they're being forced to, like, be housed in these different areas with these people that they don't even know. So the children are subject to rape. The women are subject to rape. They're being treated just viciously. And, oh, my God, I feel horrible about that.
It's part of 21st century slavery and human trafficking. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is. And the men from Honduras, they have to give up a kidney in order to get that green card. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. And y'all better pay attention to that TPP. Now the Congress has to, the TPP is going to Congress now, and that TPP entails, so we're not going to have, if TPP passes, the food restriction laws and all of that, that's going to be reduced, so therefore...
Well, they did shut it down, he didn't pass.
Oh, it did, okay,
oh,
it didn't pass.
Good.
Okay, good, good.
The only way, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Mother Hattie. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the only way it'll come back up again if 2016 the Republicans get in there and they'll bring it back up because it was a really partisan deal. It was shut down.
I believe that'll definitely come back up. It's a new trade agreement that President
it's like NAFTA
rushed through for approval, and it would affect labor laws, so it would reduce the salaries and the wages of people. It was just like NAFTA on steroids. It was just like NAFTA on steroids. The regulations of food. No, it would affect all countries because it was multinational. Because say for instance, if I wanted to say, listen, we don't want, say that shrimp coming from Vietnam. Well, then Vietnam could sue the United States for profits that they would have made by exporting the shrimp. So countries would be able to sue other countries because, like, say for instance, whatever country, India.
What's wrong with
United
the
States?
Tell them what's wrong with the shrimp.
What's up with the shrimp? The shrimp that comes from Vietnam that we receive is farmed shrimp, and so the water actually has the fecal matter in the water that the shrimp are swimming around in. So. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, people say you shouldn't have farm-raised catfish, you know, and salmon. You should have it from the wild. So, but listen, we are at the end of the hour. Oh, my God, I wish we had another hour because I still have some shifts I want to play. But we'll just have to pick back up on that. And I thank everyone for tuning in and listening and sharing all of your great comments and wisdom. Peace and good night. Namaste. We'll be back on Sunday.
Good night.
Hey.
Good night.